Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
The Reading Chapter of Safari Club International is hosting their 22nd annual banquet April 30th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is a leader in protecting your freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. Live auction and raffles will include African game safaris, elk, deer and wild boar hunts, and much more. The 22nd annual Reading Chapter of Safari Club International promises to be a signature event. For tickets and more information, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075. That's 530-474-5075.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds, and happy Easter. Today is March 27th, Easter Sunday, and we're here in the studio once again. And my name is Mark Kent, again, and I am your host, and we'd like to thank everybody who sponsors us in the North State. You all know who you are. excuse me.
Yes, we couldn't do it without you.
Absolutely. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, and happy Easter to all.
Happy Easter. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Happy Easter, Mark, and Linda, and Red.
Happy Easter, everyone.
And last but not least, Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid to sell into the unfunded pit of hell.
That's about it. Although I believe the blended glide path has come to a conclusion recently.
It's not blended anymore. It's just the glide path down into the into hell.
We're searching for the point of impact.
Yeah, it's a target in a target rich environment.
It is indeed.
Oh, boy, yeah, we'll probably talk about CalPERS a little bit later. I'm sure there's plenty to talk about, as always.
CalPERS is like Prince. It's the pension fund formerly known as CalPERS.
It's just a symbol now.
Yeah. It's a big negative sign.
Yeah, it's the Ted Nugent symbol.
The middle finger.
The middle finger of defiance symbol, yeah. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, it can't get much worse, can it?
Yeah.
Don't ask.
It could.
It could always get worse.
Okay, there you have it. Well, we are streaming worldwide. Excuse me. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night and no longer at the Destiny Fellowship on Bonneview. It's over this
at
week.
Shasta Bible College.
Shasta Bible College this week, and I believe we will have our guest as a guest over there, Debbie.
I do believe
Bacha Galupi.
Yeah. This Monday.
Bacha Galupi. And she is. You almost botched that.
But Bob saved the day.
Bob saved the day. I got a big sign up here with it all, you know, phonetically spelled out for me so I don't mess it up. But Debbie's a great gal. She's up from Siskiyou County. She's her passion at this point, I believe, is Agenda 21 and informing the public out there as to how out of control our government is and how a secret agency, or, for lack of a better term, a infiltration of our government from foreign interest has occurred through the Agenda 20. Oh, it could never happen here, could it? No, not at all. No, that's why it's almost become common knowledge at this point as opposed to 5 years ago. So I believe we have Debbie on the line. Are you there, Debbie?
You do. Happy Easter to you all.
Happy Easter.
Happy
to
Easter,
you.
Debbie. How you doing?
I was just thinking, I'm doing great. You know, I'm at the ranch and I'm overlooking one of our ponds with a bunch of duck on it, and then I've got the our mountain in the background, and everything's green and beautiful, and we've got new calves being born, and
nice.
We've worked the cows over the last couple days, which is a lot of hard work. But, you know, I was just thinking on this Easter Sunday how, you know, we just don't stop in this battle, do we, in this fight for good?
Nope.
And, you know, freedom doesn't sleep. And vigilance must never stop. And so I'm just so proud to be with you all on today on KCNR 1460 AM. And I'm going to post that on Facebook very shortly here to get other people. And because you know what? This battle does not quit. It's 24/7, and freedom and liberty is 24/7. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I thought about it. It's funny you mentioned that because I thought about it, too. I thought about Easter Sunday, and I'm going down to a radio program, and I'm thinking, yeah, I guess I'm going because no matter what, you know, liberty is not going to defend itself, and somebody's got to show up. And, you know, when you think about it, that's why the movement is starting to turn around and get legs and start to have an impact on the political scene out there, because the real deal is that, you know, this is not a game, and we need to reverse the course of what's been, you know, happening in our country because these people don't give up either. They just keep pushing, and if we don't push back, we won't have any freedom.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So
it's true. Yeah.
So what?
Well, I was a couple of things that you've already said is, you know, the international movement. This is being influenced by the European Union. What we are being forced into is a European unionized style of governance,
yeah,
where there is no representation. You are pretty much citizens of, you know, some king or dictatorial or monarchical or oligarchy, in our case, I believe, system. And you know, Daniel Webster said that we must always be vigilant. And he also said that he was nervous, he was scared that the danger would not come, the destruction of the United States of America would not come from another quarter. It wouldn't come from elsewhere. It would come from within, and it would be from the inattention of the people to the concerns of the people they've elected. And that eventually, if we weren't intelligent, if we weren't smart to figure out the remedy, we would become the dupes of designing men. And that's not an exact quote, but that's pretty much what he says. And I believe that that's where we are right now.
Well, I couldn't agree with you
and
more.
We've got to get more and more people engaged. You know, I am speaking tomorrow night, and we're videotaping this to hopefully put on if they're good enough to put on DVDs and get, you know, more people watching them. But you know what I'm going to be really disappointed is if I show up tomorrow night and it's the same people. Because speaking to the choir is not getting, you know, the sound bites out there that we need to in order to have more people. And I truly believe that what the politicians fear most is a massive public coming, a wave coming against them. And there's only one way that's going to happen, and that's that, first of all, people see, recognize something's not right, get educated, and then get into action. I say communicate, educate, but do not hibernate. And, you know, just showing up to a meeting isn't going, it's going to get you educated, but what are you going to do with that information once, you know, once you've got it, once you've gathered this information, you can, and also Daniel Webster said, give them the means for detecting the wrong and they will apply the remedy. And so the more people who understand what's going on, the more, you know, George Washingtons that we might find, or the more Benjamin Franklins we might find. But if we're just preaching to the choir and it's always the same small percentage, then, you know, I do fear our destruction.
Well, you know, I can't argue with you on that. I think the wave is turning, though. When you start seeing, you know, Utah pushing back to limit police powers for the BLM and the Forest Service, when you see, you know, Utah making sound money, when you look at, you know, Idaho passing, signed into law over the weekend, I believe, the governor that says that concealed carry is not a thing you have to have a permit for anymore. I mean, we're seeing more and more signs of the people getting educated and fighting back. It's just that we're not getting any mainstream media play because the powers that be, you know, do not want the people to wake up. They want the status quo.
And the states are beginning to resist.
Yes.
Well, and that's great for radio shows like yours. That's great for, you know, what Red is doing, going out there and writing articles about all this stuff happening. It gives more and more power. The more that the media is complicit, sold out, you know, it's so easy now, and I bet you can do the same on Fox News to go, oh, my gosh, they're not telling the truth. They are duping the people with misinformation. I mean, the more... You know, I say this a lot because I truly, truly feel so blessed, and I don't want to take advantage of, you know, how much the Lord is giving me ability to see. It's extraordinary. The more I learn, the more, and I don't know everything. In fact, I think I specialize in Agenda 21. It's my passion. I specialize in the 2030 agenda, and I specialize in technocracy. All three topics we're going to talk about, they're not one and the same, but they all are heading in the same direction. Actually, technocracy is the ultimate goal, is where we're heading. And Agenda 21 and the 2030 agenda are only stepping stones to the bigger picture, which is called technocracy. And technocracy, and we're going to talk about this is fairly a new subject for me to be discussing, although I've known about it for a couple years. My partner, Patrick Wood, wrote a book called Technocracy Rising. And Reading has had Patrick. He's an extraordinary speaker. And people can buy Technocracy Rising on either Amazon.com, or you can go to technocracy.news, which has tons of great articles that will educate people on what technocracy is. But I'll just read it, if that's okay. I'll just read from one of a sentence from the book, which is what we're going to talk about on tomorrow night. Agenda 21, Stepping Stone. This isn't from the book, by the way. I'm not reading from the book yet. Agenda 21 is a stepping stone. And what had me start looking into technocracy a little bit more deeply, because when I hear the word technocracy, it is so foreign to me. It sounds, you know, like technology and something that I just wouldn't be interested in so much, because I do love technology. I use, you know, my smartphone and Facebook, and I even use my GPS a lot. So, you know, I love technology, my laptop, you know, to give the presentations. So I kind of just didn't even want to delve into what technocracy was. But, you guys, I started thinking about, okay, so if Agenda 21 is the blueprint for the 21st century, what then is the blueprint for the 22nd, 23rd, 24th century? What's the plan? Because throughout history, there's always been plans for the future, right? So all of a sudden, one day, and then I was getting because I'm sitting and researching so much, I get these neck pains, and I started going to this Bowen therapist down in Sacramento when I'm in that area. And we were talking about all of this stuff. He doesn't know about Agenda 21, but he used to be what he calls a survivalist. And he'd prep, and, you know, he'd go to a lot of gun shows. We were talking about the United Nations, and he said, and he mentioned the Tower of Babel and how in the Bible that Nimrod, and I started thinking Nimrod. When you call people a Nimrod, it's usually not a good
It's not a term of endearment, is what you say.
Yeah, it's not a term of endearment. But what this guy is just so great, he said to me, and so everything started coming together for me about technocracy. And I hope I'm explaining that well enough on this call. But what he said to me was, in the Bible, the Tower of Babel, they used new technology. This is exactly what he said, and he doesn't know about technocracy. He doesn't know about Agenda 21, but this is what this therapist said. He said they used new technology to create better mortar to build this tower of one to God. And he said, and in the Bible, and he said Nimrod was considered a great hunter, but he was also, you know, responsible in building this tower to one. And then God came down. God said, that is not the way to get to me. And he, you know, dispersed and said, I don't want you one. You're to speak different languages. You're supposed to you're to disperse. So Agenda 21 is an agenda to one world governance. And when this Bowen therapist said, Debbie, if you think about it, and he puts his hands like he's reading a book, and he said, what do you see everybody doing today? And he's bowing his head down to, like, his hands laid out, and he said, they're bowing their heads to the God of technology. And I was like, whoa. And the first thing I thought of is how everywhere we go, including myself, it's almost as if we cannot live without our smartphones. And it's almost as if we can't live without being connected. And you go to restaurants, and, you know, what do you see? A whole family having their cell phones right on the table, ready to go. And what's on our smartphones? Tracking devices, you know, way that they can collect data from us. So anyway, when I asked, you know, who is the God of technology, of course he said Satan. So anyway, it all just started coming, you know, to fruition for me what technocracy was, that we are heading in, or we are in an era, and this has been since the early 1900s, 1930s, and technocracy rising goes through all of this, that we are heading into what is called a scientific dictatorship, which makes sense because what do we hear Obama and scientists saying about climate change all the time? The science is settled, right? There's no need to worry your pretty little heads. The science is settled. Climate change and global warming is real. And what is Agenda 21 about? It's all about global warming is causing destruction of the world. Therefore, through sustainable development, we must change our behaviors. We must change our lifestyles. We must move into large cities, let the landscapes back to, you know, wild, so that the ecosystems can balance out our carbon footprint, our pollution. And anyway, so here's from the book. Technocracy lingo. Governance refers to management of society by engineering experts who alone can create a resource-efficient infrastructure. In other words, taking all the land's resources, all the world's resources, monitoring, controlling them, surveilling them, and then divvying them out to the people so that we live a basic lifestyle while preserving and saving the earth for future generations. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, basically what you're describing is a communistic form of dictatorship where they use technology and computer algorithms to dictate the amount of production, economic stimulus, and the amount of consumption without a global community.
Well, it's just a control thing, if I'm hearing right. Because technocracy is just a tool, because somebody is behind the science. Somebody is implementing the science, because computers don't do just things, and technology doesn't, you know, isn't a self-serving thing. It has to serve its master, whoever that is. And, you know, so I think that looking farther behind the technocracy and who's running the show is probably, you know, the big issue here for me.
Yeah, and it is. It is controlling people, all people, by a few elites. So it is an oligarchy. It is definitely an oligarchy. But it's also the other way you could look at it is it's governing by the skilled. And who's the skilled? Well, Hitler did this. He appointed people. He said, you know, we will only appoint the best people to these bureaucracies. And we see it all over the place with BLM, EPA, the Department of Interior, even in our local, you know, towns and cities. We have these COGS, these Council of Governance or governments who are creating ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Government, and the Metro Transportation Commission. So all these basic, you know, needs that we have in our lives, from education to our planning and zoning to our health and to, you know, even controlling what happens here on my parents' ranch, is now going into the control of people who, I don't know who said, I think Red, you said modeling, or Mike, you said modeling, and computer modeling. And so the power of the people is moving away from we the people and moving into a governance system where only a few, the skilled, whoever that is, but it's not you and me, it's them, whoever they are, you know, controlled by the elite or part of this technocracy, they believe that, and it's usually, technocrats usually are engineers, scientists, who think that they know better than us, better than you, on how you should be living your life. And they actually really hate government. Technocrats, they don't like politicians because these technocrats feel that they know what's best for everyone and that politicians are just creating laws and laws and kind of messing up their utopia of what a technocracy would look like. So it's really interesting. It's a fascinating conversation, and it stems way beyond Agenda 21. It goes, you know, back into the early 1930s. And one character who's been in consistently is the Big New Brzezinski, and he has been in every administration as the National Security Advisor, or within the National Security Advisor. And oddly enough, his daughter is, I think her name's Mikhail Brzezinski. She's on MSNBC. But he is an early technocrat. He has been pushing technocracy since the early 1930s, 40s, 50s. And anyway, it's the disease. So we keep going after, oh, it's Agenda 21, and oh, it's, you know, global warming. But really, the cancer is technocracy. And once we figure out, once more and more people understand technocracy, I truly believe that we are going to be able to apply the remedy as Daniel Webster had suggested to us back in the, 1800s?
Debbie, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Rally Sally. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do, and I'm looking forward to seeing Debbie tomorrow night at the Reading Patriots meeting. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, Sally. Happy Easter.
Good. Listen, while you were just talking and describing, you know, the tenets of what's going on with technocracy, it reminded me very much of the book, The Hunger Games, and how, you know, one group of people completely controls the 13 districts, and they know what's best, and they give you what you can live on and no more, and they control you by hunger, basically. And I will not destroy for those of you who haven't seen Hunger Games, we all know how it ends. at the end. So there is hope.
Yes, and Sally, you're exactly right. I do believe that Hollywood has shown us what the future is going to look like. And, well, we've got great Ayn Rand, Orwell, all these, you know, great people who forecasted the future. But it's not difficult to figure out what the future is going to look like when you have, when you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, which rural America has been doing a great job of that. Who we need to get to is, you know, the cities and the people who are, rely on rural America. But back to what Sally's saying, technocracy is about energy units. It's about collecting. It's almost like doing a census of the entire world right now. How many trees? How much acreage is private? How much acreage is public? And we see this happening all the time. The modeling of river systems. The modeling of wolves and how many wolves should be in, you know, in an area. All this is using science. Or look at the Klamath River dams, for example. We know that the Klamath River dams, that the science that they're giving to the public, what's going on with the Klamath River dams, it's the largest dam removal project in worldwide history. For listeners who aren't in California or in the area or know about what's going on. And it's in the area where my parents' ranch is.
Debbie?
We have for over 15 years been fighting to preserve those dams. They're in perfect condition. They're clean, green, renewable energy dams. You would think that they would be applauded in this, you know, in this renewable energy era that we've moved into, where wind and solar panels are going to be the main thrust for energy. And all of us on this phone who can think about it, or on this call can think about it. Renewable energy is supposed to be this green energy that you can use over and over again. And with solar and wind, today it's cloudy. So whether or not, and there is no wind, I don't see any trees. So the energy is going to be intermittent and unreliable. And
Debbie,
yes.
I hate to interrupt you, but we need to go to a break.
And
we can pick up this conversation on the other side. If you would like to call in and have a question or comment for Debbie, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy. Loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing. Take what you need from the latest beliefs and with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step and back on themselves and their slow-moving dreams.
Easter is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
21 counties declared for the state of Jefferson, and still we remain ignored by our occupiers in Sacramento. Little do they realize all they've accomplished is making us stronger. Come find out how. Shasta County Town Hall, Saturday, April 2nd at 4 p.m. The Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive. Come hear Mark Baird speak on representation, accountability, constitutional principles. What they said could not be done is being done.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocery. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Dark cloud is coming. Headed straight for your heart. Might get just a little bit crazy, baby. Might try to tear us apart. When the storm blows over, only the strong love remains. If we're ever gonna see a rainbow, we have to stand a little rain.
Yeah, we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. Community radio for the North State. We're talking to Debbie Bacigalupi. And Debbie, let's slow it down a little bit here. Let's take this in bites. A lot of the listeners are just waking up to this stuff, so they're not tracking with what you're saying. So can we start out and just slow down and take this in bites? Like, for example, how does this apply to what's going on in Oregon and Utah with the BLM land and the ranchers and that type of thing, and kind of bring it down and, you know, slow the pace a little bit and take it in bits and pieces so that we can, you know, kind of, you know, get the new listeners out there to understand what's going on. And it's not a big mess that, you know, nobody can understand.
Great. So all the different incidences that we're seeing with the federal government was to be limited and defined in its authority that we, the people, gave them when we created the Constitution. So they had a limited and defined role in our lives. If you think about the BLM, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the EPA, these agencies who none of us vote for, they are appointed. They aren't even considered constitutional authorities because we, the people, didn't vote for them. And they don't, nowhere in the Constitution does it say that, you know, we're going to have these various self-appointed, if you will, bureaucracies controlling our land, controlling the air we breathe, controlling the water we drink, controlling our health care system. All those things, all those agencies and the people who work for them are growing in their power. This is why we see the abuse of the people, because they're not limited and defined anymore. So to break it down to very simple terms is technocracy, again, is ruled by the skilled or ruled by the elite or ruled by science. everything you see that the BLM's doing, the all these government agencies, are they always go back to, well, it's the landscape that we need to protect and manage. So where we the people were to protect and manage the land, be good stewards of the land, now you have these bureaucracies who are controlling them. So this is where we are, so where we've headed, where what we're losing is, can man rule himself? And where we're heading is democracy. Mob rule to then an oligarchy, where only the elite rule.
And well,
go ahead.
Well, the founders realized that, you know, democracy was a lower form of government. You know, they called it a mobocracy. And, you know, we're being told over and over again that we are democracy when we are not. We are a republic of laws, and a republic of laws that's designed to protect the individual rights, not the rights of all the mobs that, you know, can be swayed with the passions and emotions of arguments. You know, you're seeing that across the board. Go ahead, Red, if you can.
Well, one of the things that I think it's kind of important for people to understand, it's kind of a fundamental building block of this entire thing, is that many of the people that are perpetrating this, because when you speak to Americans about the rule of law, most of them default to the Constitution as the rule of law. That is not what we are being subjected to here. We're being subjected to policy and law on an international level, international treaty, international understanding, international laws that many in our government see our own government and our own constitution as subservient to. And that's a fundamental thing I think people need to understand, is when we speak about the rule of law in America, what you and I as the normal citizen consider to be the rule of law and what the powers to be consider the rule of law are two very different things at this point.
Unfortunately, yes.
So what people can start, how people can start recognizing this new form of government is how and this is happening all across the United States. It's actually happening in Canada and in Europe and all throughout the world right now, is this movement towards regionalism. And what is regionalism? Regionalism is where the city and county borders start disappearing. We start sharing resources like police and fire. And in my area where I live most of the time, which is the San Francisco Bay Area, we were already regionalized back in July of 2013. We became, so we have 9 counties, 101 cities in the Bay Area. And in July 2013, we became the One Bay Area Plan, which is what it's called. One. So we are sharing resources, and although the people don't feel it yet, what will eventually happen is the dissolving of county borders, city borders, because we will be sharing all the resources, and therefore, what would be the purpose of voting? If you're sharing the same general plans, comprehensive plans, smart growth plans, which we are already, and you have limited financial resources, which the state of California is bankrupt, the cities are becoming bankrupt. If you start sharing resources, police, fire, transportation, all those things, and then you're having, so now you have this big region, and what is it then that you need? If you've got this big region and we're all one, what then, and I'm asking you guys so I can, you know, clarify this in my talking points tomorrow night, what then is the value of people voting? Where do people then need to vote? If the federal government is in control of our schools now because of Common Core all of our states accepting Common Core, most states, my state especially, accepting Common Core funds, so now we have to implement a federal government education system. We have Obamacare, which, you know, is fastly working towards universal health care, and in California we are under Obamacare. And then you've got your homes, your mortgages, which federal government controls, you know, through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, mortgages for homes. Colleges now, we're moving towards a system where universities, the government wants to have universities, you know, free education to all people. So when you've got that happening, what do you see the power of our vote being anymore?
Zero. I mean, you know, we're looking at tyranny is what it is, and that's the eventual goal of all this. And then, you know, the one world government, if you will, or the UN or the, you know, Bilderbergs, the Bohemian Grove people, I don't know who you want to call the guys who are running the show here. I'm pretty sure there's a few bankers that are probably in on the list. But, you know, the real deal is, though, that that these are just tools in order to get control for the few people that want to have power over everyone.
It's rebirth of the city-state.
Exactly,
system.
And that is the whole goal of Agenda 21. Is you just said it perfectly, is to have all these tools to get control. And that's all Agenda 21 is. A big, like a toolbox of tools to gain control.
Well, I know a lot of politicians that I've called tools before. And, you know, it really does fit, unfortunately, that that's what they are. You know, they are for sale to the highest bidder. I mean, we've seen that locally here. We've seen it across the board. I mean, look at what's happening with the Clintons and so forth, you know, with their foundation and this land grab across the board with BLM. You know, they're selling uranium to the Russians. Nobody goes to jail. I mean, we've basically crossed the Rubicon. If Hillary doesn't get indicted, then we don't have any rule of law, and your vote doesn't count anymore because these people do whatever they want without any accountability or repercussions, or, you know, they can commit crimes and just walk away and nobody gets charged or indicted.
That's right, and they're technocrats. They believe that they can better rule the world with their few and selected skilled. And
yeah.
It is exactly where we are, and going back to the Klamath and actually bringing in what Sally said about Hunger Games, when you make resources scarce or off limits, who then do we go to or have we gone to in order to fix that situation?
Well,
we always go back to the government.
Right. Well, this goes back to property rights. I mean, this is really the basis, this is the underlying premise is, you know, property rights are freedom, and they're connected to freedom. If you don't have any property rights, you can't have freedom, because you'll always be subject to the landholder master of the house, so to speak. And what that means is that, and what we're seeing here is we're seeing a takeover of large swaths of property and resources in the hands of a very few bureaucrats or technocrats, if you will, so that, you know, basically you're seeing a feudal system on a grand scale created so that, you know, who's ever on the property and whoever needs the resources will be subject to the lord of the manor.
Well, and if resources weren't valuable, the land wouldn't be valuable. So
right.
So it is. It's all about the resources. It's not about owning land. It's about owning the resources on the land. But if the government does own the land and gets more and more land, what it ends up doing is pushing people out of, you know, off that land eventually. Because there's more and more rules stacked on top of you, especially if you're a large landowner and you have water and you have, like you mentioned, uranium and all these deposits and things that, you know, we create, you know, all those things are used to create some kind of byproduct that we use every single day, whether it's your smartphone or your car or whatever. But if you take control of all those things, you take control of all the people. And for people who, you know, just want bite size, you can look around your city or if you're in suburbia or even rural areas, you see all this move towards bike lanes where you're going, oh my gosh, who is going to bike way the heck out here? But widening bike lanes, decreasing the size of parking lots, pushing towards where, you know, you would use public transportation or you would walk. City centers growing bigger where you can walk, bike, or take public transportation. Mixed use space where you'll see stores at the bottom and apartments, smaller apartment size living on the top of you know, this social commerce or this economic commerce in city centers. And then what you see happening in the rural areas is more regulation. Endangered species this, endangered species that. WOTUS, Waters of the United States of America, you know, control over from the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, all these different overarching government on our back, not government on our side, agendas that make it harder and harder for people in rural America to survive.
Debbie?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know that we're getting close to the top of the hour and we only have you for a short time. And earlier in our conversation, you said Daniel Webster has solutions. Can you kind of hit on that so that the listeners out there can get an idea what you're speaking of?
He didn't have the solution. He said, give them the means for detecting the wrong. In other words, educate them. Make them intelligent. Make them intelligent and they will be vigilant is what he said. Give them the means for detecting the wrong and they will apply the remedy. So how I think about that is, let's say I have cancer, but I don't know that I have cancer. A scar, you know, some kind of scab keeps showing up on my skin, on the top layer of my skin. And I put a Band-Aid over it thinking, okay, well, that'll fix the problem. But deep inside, cancer is spreading, and I go to the doctor, and they can't identify it, and they say, well, you know what, maybe it's just skin cancer, and we'll take it out. But deep down, they weren't able to figure out that there is more cancer in my body. So when we figure out that the cancer is spreading through my body, just like technocracy has been spreading since the 1930s, but we haven't been able to identify it until recently, until the last couple years of what technocracy is, until we cut out that cancer, that disease, until we figure out what the problem is, we can't apply the proper solution. So the proper solution, the proper remedy for cancer is not just, you know, cut it out. It's to either, you know, do vitamin B17, you know, which is a big movement, or cut the cancer out, radiation, whatever it is. But if you just put a bandage on it and think that covering it up and just splicing out a small piece is going to solve the problem, it's not.
So
it's going to keep spreading. And that's why we need more and more people educated, more and more people, because with education, people become intelligent, they become vigilant, and then they start thinking about, okay, how do I fix this problem?
Well, I think the solution to fixing the problem is pretty self-apparent at this point. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of education going on out there, tons of it, but I think what people have to do in order to solve this problem is get involved in their government locally and start getting into positions of making policy and getting rid of this stuff, you know, voting these people out, you know, getting a sheriff that will protect your rights, that will throw the rascals out like they've done in several other states, Montana and Utah, you know, basically have told these guys to get out of their counties. And that's the solution at the local, state, and federal level, is to start getting involved in the politics and getting people who believe in the Constitution and not some, you know, non-government organization that has nobody that is elected on their board running the show.
And I refuse to comply with those organizations.
Refuse to comply with them, pushing back against these things, whether it's paying your local, city, state, federal taxes. I mean, we're starting to see that kind of a movement of people just saying, hey, we're not going to do it anymore. Yeah, if you want to, you know, you want to take our guns, we're not giving them up.
Yeah, we have to start at the local level in order to build so we can go forward and get to the higher ups. But we got to stay local.
Yeah, you got to get engaged, because education's great and we all need to understand where the problem is coming from. But at some point in time, you still got to get up off the couch and go run for city council or support your city council guy who's supporting the Constitution or whatever the case may be.
And stop operating within the dynamics of their argument. Because once you box yourself into their argument and arguing within the terms of what they're trying to say, you're not going to win. Because what is the basic precept is that we all need to share the resources and the wealth, and that just automatically makes the assumption that there's a limited number of wealth. There is enough wealth and resources for everybody to be upwardly mobile and successful. And that's the truth. There's not a limited amount of wealth to go around. And
I agree with that. You look around everywhere and we have abundance everywhere. Yeah, there are some countries that you could say, well, they're scarce in this and scarce in that. But what is oppressing that scarcity is their government. It's not that there is a lack of resources. There is an abundant amount of resources on this earth for everyone. And I do agree with everything you all just said about getting involved locally in politics and saying no. But there are people who are actually afraid to do any of those things. But it doesn't mean, when people say, Debbie, what do I do? What don't you do? There are thousands and thousands of things you could do, whether it's writing, to somebody's blog on, we need to remove dams all across the United States, and just writing something like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And there's, I dressed up as a pig in a pig mascot costume and flew down on, I didn't fly down on Southwest with my pig costume on, but I had the head on my lap. And people were saying, what are you doing? Are you going to a football game? What are you doing? And I said, no, I don't watch football. I don't have time for football. I have a country to save. I am going to a conference to say vote no on Prop 1, because Prop 1 is nothing but environmental pork. And so I walked around this conference in L.A. with a sign saying vote no on Prop 1, which, back in 2014, we could see that what was included in Prop 1 was dam removal. We could read right between the lines on page 7. It talks about sustainable communities. That's Agenda 21.
Is that the one where our Jim Nielsen said that it was okay and we could vote for one? And that's a classic example of what we're talking about. Is we got to get those guys out.
Those guys got to go.
Yeah, we can't keep supporting these guys that say they're conservative and say they're for the people and say they're and then turn right around and stab you in the back on the big votes. Whether it's
there is only one person considered a conservative who voted against Prop 1, and that was Tim Donnelly. He's running for Congress, by the way, so we need to support a man like Tim Donnelly in California. But, largely Republicans voted for Prop 1, even though there was a group of people. But this goes back to education is so key, because if we could educate the majority of people in California on what was really in Prop 1. I'm telling you right now, you guys, I can say I was right on Prop 1.
The state of Jefferson voted against it.
What needs to happen next? Well, we're telling you, like Agenda 21, the 2030 agenda, which we haven't talked about today at all, but I will be tomorrow night, technocracy. So in my opinion, education is key. It is number one. Why? Because the majority of people are not educated.
They're not properly educated, that's for sure.
Properly educated, and when you can properly educate people, they can properly start applying the remedy.
I think, and I have to disagree with you, I think number one is getting engaged, because you have to get engaged, and then you will become educated. Sitting back and just soaking in, information doesn't do any good at all. In order to get in, you got to get involved locally at whatever stage of the game, because you'll get educated along the way as you're going.
Yeah, but if people don't understand what the problem is, they're not going to apply the proper remedy.
I think we have to do it hand in hand.
That's what we've been doing, and that's why tea parties are getting exhausted, and you see tea parties dwindling is in most cases because they keep trying to go after this thing when this thing is just a shell game, and the real issue is over here called technocracy. The real issue is scientific dictatorship, and going after that versus and doing all the other things is really good, but you cannot get rid of the cancer if you do not know that it is cancer. And that's my point. And the only way we're going to be able to identify what is happening is through education. And that's why I do what I do, go around the country, mostly the Western United States, on my own time and dime, to educate people on what is happening. The other night I was speaking, or a couple weeks ago, I was speaking in Elk Grove for the first time. And after I did my hour and whatever presentation, tomorrow night will not be that hour and a half. It'll be 40 minutes, and we're going to do it in two parts. And at the end of the presentation, a gentleman who is a disabled vet came up to me, and he started crying. And I, to see a grown man cry is really touches you at a really deep level, and touches me at a really deep level. And he said to me, I finally understand what is happening. And he said, you know, I risked my life. And he said, I got wounded. And my life never changed.
I hate to cut you off, but they're going to cut us off. And we appreciate you coming on for the hour. And we will see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at the Shasta Bible College.
Thanks you all.
All right. Thank you.
For what you're doing. Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
And this is KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. There have been additional anti-terror raids today in Belgium, with four more people in custody after 13 raids in all in Brussels and two other cities. Federal prosecutors say the raids were linked to a, quote, federal case regarding terrorism, but they're not specifically saying whether it had any links to last week's attacks. Meanwhile, Secretary of State John Kerry says there are still many concerns in Europe these days.
For several years now, foreign fighters have been returning from Syria or from other locations and implanting themselves in the communities. And this is the threat that we've all been aware of.
He was a guest on CBS TV's Face the Nation program. Bernie Sanders riding high today after impressive wins in the West, County Lawn reports.
Bernie Sanders has won large amounts of votes and delegates in three Democratic caucus states, Alaska, Washington State, and Hawaii. He expects to do well in Wisconsin and other Midwestern states. Sanders says his supporters have energy, passion, youth, and momentum. Hillary Clinton still leads in delegates at this time, but Democratic voters are as divided as are many Republicans. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Analysts say Sanders will still have to win about 67% of the remaining delegates to beat Clinton. Palmyra, the Syrian town whose famed 2,000-year-old ruins once drew tens of thousands of tourists each year, has been retaken after nearly a year-long reign of terror by ISIS. Syrian media and activists both say government forces backed by Russian airstrikes drove the last of the ISIS fighters out of Palmyra today. ISIS demolished some of the city's best-known monuments before they left. Pakistani investigators have arrived in New Delhi. They're there to probe an attack on an Indian Air Force base close to the border with Pakistan, which killed seven Indian soldiers and six militants. This is SRN News.
Something just happened that has explained why survival food is literally flying off the shelves and has sold out in many areas of the country. It caught me totally by surprise, and it involves FEMA. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, but I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. I just created a free video presentation at FEMA8.com that exposes the truth. Be warned, it's really disturbing, because the fact is, FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMA8.com to see the number one item to hoard and why supplies of this critical item are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in recent days. Go to FEMA8.com and discover the number one item most critical in a crisis. Go watch my video now at FEMA8.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's FEMA8.com.
Investigators are broadening their DNA searches these days beyond government databases and demanding genetic information from companies that do ancestry research for their customers. Two major firms that research family lineage for fees of a couple hundred dollars say that over the last 2 years they've received law enforcement demands for genetic information stored in their DNA databases. Ancestry.com and 23andMe report a total of 5 requests from law agencies for the genetic material of 6 individuals in their growing databases of hundreds of thousands of people. The Alabama Emergency Management Agency says 4 people were killed yesterday in a helicopter crash in the southeast portion of the state. EMA spokesman Greg Robinson says 3 crew members and a patient were aboard the ambulance helicopter when the crash occurred. The aircraft crashed after responding to a wreck. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Even in an era of high-tech crime fighting, the best line of defense against a Brussels-style attack has 4 legs and a tail.
Dogs with their exquisitely sensitive noses have been trained in recent years to pick up the scent of explosives on people moving through crowded concourses. And so far, they've proved a better early warning system than anything engineers have come up with. James Waters of New York City's counterterrorism unit lauded dogs, saying they outperform both men and machines. His unit just this week graduated its latest squad of dogs capable of following the vapor from explosives, such as the terrorist bomb-making material of the moment, TATP. Keith Peters, Washington.
Investigators say a robber helped them out when he apparently dropped his own wallet full of his identification as he and two accomplices tried to take money from men outside a Florida Panhandle bar. 28-year-old Devontae Pace arrested in Panama City. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
21 counties declared for the state of Jefferson, and still we remain ignored by our occupiers in Sacramento. Little do they realize all they've accomplished is making us stronger. Come find out how. Shasta County Town Hall, Saturday, April 2nd at 4 p.m. The Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive. Come hear Mark Baird speak on representation, accountability, constitutional principles. What they said could not be done is being done.
Easter is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am
American. Listening to the second half of Sovereign Mind Radio.
I'd almost say come out like that, huh?
Ruh-roh, Reggie.
Yeah, exactly. I got a couple of cues up here. I have to get that on here. Rocket J Squirrel, you know, right, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat here. Okay, so, wow. It's second hour of Sovereign Minds, and I believe we have a caller on the line, maybe with a response to our guest, Debbie Bacigalupi, and she'll be at the Reading Tea Party tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And
I believe we got Terry on the line.
Yeah.
Good morning, Terry. Happy Easter.
Hey, happy Easter. Good show. I love Debbie to pieces. I mean, she's a great gal. So much information that she has, you know, makes it probably a little more difficult for her to articulate it because there's so much.
Yeah, it's hard to cram into an hour.
Yeah, you can't do it. And that's what we were kind of talking about, is trying to get her to slow down a little bit and track, you know, because people, you know, that haven't heard this stuff before, you can, you know, you can actually, you know, eliminate your credibility if you're not careful by just going in too many directions at once.
Well, I wanted to touch on something you said, Mark, which was right on the money, very insightful. And I'll touch on that in just a second. But a couple of things. CARB, bad. Common Core, bad.
Right.
Technocracy, bad. Agenda 21, bad. Agenda 2030, worse. Yeah. Fire tax, bad. Obamacare, bad. BLM, bad. That's all I need to know.
Right.
What else do I need to know?
You need to know to show up.
So what's the solution?
You need to show up and start getting people elected.
There you
to
go. And something I want to address about education. One of the problem with the Tea Party has become a lot of people came to the Tea Parties all over, especially in California, to get educated. Then would go home and come back the next week and get educated on something else. Go home and maybe get educated on Agenda 21 or technocracy. Be terrified. Come back and do something else. And there was never any action behind it, because education without action is dead.
Yeah. That is
education
very
without
true.
Action is dead.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to have some kind of engagement here. You know, even if you don't know everything, all you have to do is know that they're showing up and taking your property, or getting rid of the dams, or the federal government is out of control and they're taxing you too much, or you know, you got police power out on the, you know, the Forest Service, and they're closing off roads so you can't use. You don't have to know all of the particulars of that. What you have to know is that the government is running outside the boundaries of the Constitution.
Yeah, but they kind of go hand in hand.
Absolutely. That's absolutely it. And everything that Terry named just a little bit ago is a symptom of the problem. The symptoms no longer matter.
You mean Debbie?
We need to identify the Terry. Problem. We okay. know what the problem okay. is. No, when Terry gave his
yeah,
list
that's
of,
what
you
I'm
know,
saying.
Of Obamacare,
Debbie.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
And the problem is what Mark just said, is an out-of-control government that no longer respects the rule of law and the Constitution, and we need to rip those people out of their seats
I
and
totally
replace them and retake
that.
Our government. And all the symptoms that we discuss become moot, because we have solved the problem. We have removed the cancer, as Debbie was saying.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, we can know who's doing this. All the solution is, don't let them do it. Get them out of here. You know?
Well, here's the thing now. She talked about Daniel Webster. The Daniel Webster solution was that when Daniel Webster ran for office, for example, in his township and in his county at the time, there were 5,000 voters. It was something like 4,999 voted. You see, and then they voted for people, and they would vote that way. Now, one of the challenges we run into, even when we do vote, and we believe we're voting in the right particular person, we vote... and what happens is the people get into office and they completely do the opposite of what they said they were going to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how does more education help lawlessness, number one? And number two, I'll give you a really good example. Mary Richter, who's running for Supervisor 3. I went to a little town hall yesterday, which Bob Roundmountain Bob put on. That was very good. He did a nice job. Well, one of the comments that Mary Richter made is, you know, I'm really mad. Have you guys looked at your telephone bill? I'm really mad. My telephone bill shows all these hidden taxes. And you know what? We have property in Siskiyou County, and we're being affected by the dams and being charged $500 a month to have these dams ripped out, and they're not even done yet. Now, all that's fine and dandy, and people would look at her and say, you know, she's one of us. She believes what we believe in. But none of that stuff has anything to do with the fact that she's on about 11 green boards and the fact that none of that is in her purview.
Mm-hmm.
None of that is in her purview, but she's one of us. And I think that's the deception of the uninformed voter, even some Tea Party folks who see this and say, well, she's right on there, and I'm mad about that, too. I think I'll vote for her. But she said nothing about the problems in her county.
Yeah, I think the deception is knowing who the people are really underneath the promises of this and the promises of that, and you know, we, you know, I'm one of you type things, and the real deal is that they're not one of us, they're one of them, and that's the deception that needs to be recognized, and you do that by finding out who you're dealing with.
Well, here's another example. Let's use an example for Congressman LaMalfa. Congressman LaMalfa's aide went to a Tea Party. And that they were talking about the fire tax, and she said, let me have a copy of that. I'm going to show that to Doug. And they went, oh, right on, right on, right on, right on. Oh, that's great. Oh, thank you so much for doing that. It's not in his purview. He can't do a thing about it. Well, and that's what I told them. And they said, well, you know, but he cares. Okay, he cares. How nice. How about caring about some of the things that are going to happen federally? that he needs to be caring
about. How about caring about whether you vote for the DARC Act to label our food products coming from Monsanto. Overseas and not getting a big payoff from Monsanto? I mean, you know, that's the real deal is that, oh, yeah, I say I could sit there and say I'm one of you and I care. And by, you know, and but I don't like the checks as they come in installments because, you know, it's really dirty.
I never touch them.
I don't like to touch the checks. But the real deal is you're a piece of crap. You know, and, you know, that's what they do. That's what politicians do. Mm-hmm. If they didn't come out and pander to the audience, nobody would vote for them at all. So they got to tell you. But you got to look at their voting record.
So when we go back and we talk about, okay, all these things that are so bad, and I know Mr. Woods, and I've talked with him. We did the Liberty Tour and got to know him real well. And all these arguments are right on, and people need to be educated, but there's no action. And with all due respect, you know, most people will take the frightened way out. Most of the average American will take that thing and just go, oh, isn't that terrible, and complain about it. And they get solace out of complaining about that issue with another person who agrees with them. Now we're all complaining, we're all upset, and we feel a little better because we had coffee at McDonald's with our friends and they all agreed with us. We feel a little better. That's out of our system. What's next? And that's what's going on, because the solution is really standing up, and it really is a sovereign state.
I think that the example you want to look to is a guy like Lavoie Finicum, who was willing to die for his beliefs, and he didn't just sit around making videos or talking or doing. He went out and he was doing stuff. He was out there, you know, engaging the sheriffs, engaging the BLM, engaging. Now, he died for that, okay? But at the same time, he was a real leader. He was somebody that said, no, you know, talk is over. We got to start doing something.
Well, one thing that came up yesterday that was interesting was, you know, what if the county just held back on the property taxes and just didn't send them in, left them in trust,
yep,
and just didn't send them in?
Yeah.
And just held them for people. Or what if everybody just didn't pay them? I mean, if you stop feeding the beast, I mean, at what point do we start having some action that really is going to put us in a position to give us liberty?
I agree.
And that's what Jefferson's about.
Well, that's the thing, too, is with the education. You have people arguing over the education. Hey, this is communism. No, it's fascism. No, it's technocracy. No, it's this. No, hey, we've got to go fix this. Hey, no, geoengineering's the most important thing. Hey, no, the TPP's the biggest problem we have. You've got, even within the Patriot movement, you've got everybody so scattered and arguing amongst themselves. None of that matters. The problem is tyranny and loss of freedom, no matter what name it goes by or what tool it's using to take away our liberty. The problem is tyranny. And once you identify the tyrants, you take them out, you get rid of them, and you say goodbye once and for all.
You know, maybe going down and putting some pressure on the sheriff to kick the IRS out of the county, to kick the BLM out of the county, to kick the Forest Service out of the county and their police powers. You know, that would be engaging, as far as I can tell, is to go down and actually put some pressure on the sheriff to do his job, you know, to protect us from these overreaching, out-of-control federal government officials, and that's the kind of action that we need to start seeing.
Well, people have to realize that they have authority. People are the authority.
Right. Well, that's
as
exactly
Thomas
right.
Jefferson said, we are the authority, and we can do that.
And you look
and
at
we
some
should
of the,
do that.
Absolutely. And you look at some of the things that are going on in other places and what people have an idea of getting active. You look at Oregon since the shooting of Lavoie Finicum.
Right.
Constant protests at the Capitol, in Portland, every weekend, every day. There's rallies going on at in the counties. There's the people are out there. They're fighting. They're resisting. They're protesting. They're saying enough is enough. And in a lot of other movements and groups, people are sitting around and going, well, we need to make sure everybody knows something bad's going on. Bullshit.
I was heading up Hilltop.
We all know that there's something bad going on.
Uh-oh.
You got the button.
I've been buzzed.
Easter button.
I was heading up Hilltop on Thursday, and as I drove up Hilltop, just to reinforce what Red just said, driving in the left lane next to me, I was heading over to Trader Joe's, were three Department of Forestry trucks. Law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Three. Law enforcement. And my thinking is, I know that at times the Reading Police Department has called on help from the Department of Forestry, and that's at Paletti's own admission. As we see this stuff all happening around us, Red hit the nail on the head. It's totalitarianism. The way to stop that is a sovereign state. A sovereign state. restarting the engine, the Constitution. And no matter how educated we get, if that doesn't happen, nothing matters. Now, very quickly on the side of education, I love Debbie for what she's doing, and she's right about what she's doing. I just wish that her and Patrick and some of these folks would have just a little tiny excerpt of some suggestions of what we can do. Because after 3 hours of hearing about what's bad, most people's eyes are glazed over. They're in shock. They're scared to death. But what do we do about it?
Yeah,
I agree. Does that make sense, or am I just...
No, I think...
Action is the big thing.
Open the Bombay doors, you're on target.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just glaze over after a while myself. I mean, you know, education's great, but the action is better. And, I mean, at what point in time do you see that the problem, what it is, and, you know, let's start going, like you say, the sovereign state. I mean, that's what we need, because we can start over. We can fundamentally, you know, begin again out of this bureaucracy that's got out of control, that's going to implode in California. You know, I mean, you know, spending money, all of this stuff. You're absolutely right. That is an action. See, and we got to quit chasing our tails and going after all of these you know, little causes, for lack of a better term, that divert from the big things that are actually implementing some changes, like you know, the state of Jefferson, you know, like the protest of the Bundys and the BLM. Now, that's what we need, is to go after to change the things that are happening, not just learn about them.
But I think, like Robert said earlier, I think it was you, that if we go back to our foundation, all that's going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
If we go back to the Constitution,
right,
and start from there,
everything else is fixed.
Everything else has to be fixed if you follow the Constitution. It goes away. The bad things go away.
Yeah, we're not dealing with unelected representative boards making regulations anymore. We're not operating with the federal government operating outside of the color of law.
Right.
We're not operating with land grabs and theft of the... If we go back to the fundamental document, we fix all the problems.
Right. They go away.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two people, I think, that really exemplify education with knowledge. Two people, actually three, but the two people I want to talk about very briefly is Mark Baird is number one. Here's what's wrong, and here's what we're going to do about it.
Right.
And Chris Ann Hall, God bless her,
yep,
God love her, is the other one. Here's what's going on constitutionally. Here's what you need to do about it. Here's what we need to do. And that's the kind of education we need here. I mean, gosh, having 90,000 different facts for the average person, I mean, I'm sorry. I just, you know, those people are just all too clever for me. I just can't keep up.
Well, we're going to have a spot on from Chris Ann Hall coming up here pretty quick about the Second Amendment, and that's a very good enlightening little blip of information. And, you know, those are the kind of things that I like to get on here is not just telling the problem, but also showing you what the solution is and getting back to.
And how
you
can do it yourself.
Well,
absolutely.
And not depend on everybody else.
And it's not like the education is not occurring. My question is what are you going to do with the education when it's put
that
in
should
your
be
hands?
The follow, yeah. That's got to be the follow-up question. Not just I'm being educated, but what are you doing about it?
A prime example, the Shasta Lantern released an article about 10 points that prove LaVoy Finicum was murdered. That thing has gone national. It's gone international now.
Right.
But there are people that are taking the information in that article,
something,
and they are marching on their state capitals going, you need to answer for this. You owe us an explanation. Explain this.
Right.
And they're doing something with it. They're not just wringing their hands in the front row and then waiting till next Monday night.
There has to be targeted action. And that's exactly right. There has to be targeted action, because that's what you're seeing is that people, and it's about, and I've said this for 30 years, it's about public opinion getting to the point, not just where they're understanding what's going on, but where they're engaged in doing something about it. And that's, we're starting to see it. I see the tides turning. I see the ship turning around. You know, but it's like an aircraft carrier. You just don't spin on a dime, but the ship is starting to turn around. You're seeing the pushback, you know, the election cycle with Donald Trump and what's happening there. You're seeing a lot of the action that's happening, and that's a good thing. That's what needs to happen, and we're heading the ship back towards the Constitution, because people are starting to understand what tyranny is and how to combat it.
And I think also, like Robert said, with the Shasta Lantern and stuff, getting the information out there and showing the people that there is people standing up. People are in action, and this is what happens when you put it into place. where if you go on mainstream media or something, they're not going to show that the numbers are gathering, that the people are gathering,
right,
and the results of what we're
Absolutely.
Doing when we're in action.
Yeah.
And that's
it's like
a big deal.
It's like what we're doing here. The media is not just sitting here informing people, but telling them what to get out there and get involved in. Go out there and support your state of Jefferson. Go out there and put some
right.
pressure on your sheriff. You know, get involved in some of these protests, you know, to show people what's going on. Either that, or I got an idea. Let's have a special, and we'll talk for 3 hours on the Bohemian Grove and how they're having ritual seances on controlling our government officials.
I think Tim Pappas said it best at the Tea Party. I believe it was either last week or the week before. It was the week before. Tim had made mention. He said, you know, the way we fight the drug war is we go after the end user. And I think that's pretty much the way that we're looking at this. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to say one more quick thing about Mary Rickert and her comment yesterday, which I found really interesting, talking about how the taxes were bad on the telephone bill, the taxes were bad on her electric bill. She got charged extra for money to take out of the dams from her bill because she manages property up in Siskiyou County. And then the next thing out of her mouth is, well, we need to get grants for mental health.
Right.
$8 million. Okay,
right.
Well, if we need to get $8 million, do you think that that's not tax money?
Right.
And the state of California denied us $4 million last year, and I think $3 million the year before. Red was at that meeting.
Yep.
I mean, we've got to stop the insanity and understand that we have to start getting educated ourselves on the issues to go after these guys and stand up to
them. Well, it's the classic paradigm between the right and the left, is that their spending programs are good, our spending programs are bad. Our spending programs are good, and their spending programs are bad. And the real deal is there's just way overspending on things that aren't constitutional.
We just need to cut the taxes.
Isn't that the truth?
And yeah, exactly. So how can we cut taxes if everybody's got their own pet projects that,
isn't that the truth?
You know, no. fall outside the purveyor of the Constitution? So
and with that, we have a caller on the line. We have Lori. You have some comments for us this morning, Lori, or a question?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yikes. Every Sunday you guys do this.
Sorry.
We're trying to help you.
No, not really. I'm not sorry.
No. Where are the medications and sedation? Ay, ay, ay. How about I just start with Chief Puletti is going to be Thursday at middle school here, Sequoia Middle School, Thursday the 31st, so as another avenue, path, and option for us to come together and start to ask the pressing questions. And I agree with everything you said about we just can't have preaching to the choir, the same people that keep showing up. Mark and Red brought this up months ago at a tea party, that we're just not bringing in people, whether we have the tea party change to Patriot or tea party / Patriots, don't know, but it's worth a try. I'm definitely going to be at the presentation with Deborah tomorrow. I'm not going to try to say her name right now, even though I heard you say it several times. My question, and maybe Red or Mark or Lindy, do you know if where she is on the aspect of, because we're going to look at pieces and parts, this is where we're going to start delegating people, do what you know best, do with what you can with your networking, and start making some inroads on the biggest things without being distracted. So my thing with her on the Hunger Games, Sally brought this up. Excellent point. We are going to be competing for very sparse and scarce resources. So my whole thing is with what's happening to our planet. Yes, if you look at it, we up here in Shasta County, for instance, we have plenty of visual cues that we have everything. You know, rivers, lakes, the forest, all of it. But what's happening to it, it's tainted and damaged, and it might be damaged beyond control because of the geoengineering programs. Look at the ocean, Fukushima, dead oceans. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have fish. The data and research is just overwhelming. It's been covered up.
Again,
the oil,
those,
the drought,
all
the
of
orchards,
those
fracking, all of this. I mean, we're going to be left with this kind of a resource, quote unquote.
All of those horrible things,
I mean,
though, are
our human body.
Symptoms.
So I don't
of the
know
problem.
Where she stands specifically on geoengineering. Whether she thinks it's heating up, does she? I'm just curious. I will be there tomorrow, but I kind of want to get a little better idea because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people, and we're in a new, slightly smaller location temporarily.
Can I say something bold here?
Go ahead.
Bold and fresh.
Okay, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. If they take our liberty, it doesn't matter. If we get a sovereign state, we stop those things.
Mm-hmm.
We stop those things. We stop spraying. If we get back to the Constitution, we
exactly.
stop those things. None of that matters. That's what we've been talking about. The individual issues are important to know, But none of it matters. Is one worse than the other? Liberty, the loss of liberty, is the very worst thing. And I'm going to ask one question of all the listeners listening to this. Someone call in and name one thing, whether it be the light bulb you use, the food you eat, the makeup your wife uses, the kids your grandkids or kids, or the toys that your kids or grandkids play with, anything that you do, name one thing right now, the food you eat, that the government does not control. Name one thing. Somebody name one thing.
Terry?
We're already there. And with all due respect, I mean, yeah, we should be concerned about these things, but unless we get our liberty, nothing else matters. Yeah.
But if we go back to the Constitution, all that will go by the wayside, so to speak, because they won't be in power. We'll be back in power. If we go back to the Constitution, the people will have the authority once again.
Retaking our government is the kill shot. That's the kill shot. It's you want geoengineering to stop, then you put in place a government that will not allow it to happen.
Right.
Okay, you want answers and responses to Fukushima?
This is why some of the components and particulates that are falling down are with lithium and barium. This is why people are sludgy, slow. They're not activating. They don't have energy. They're lethargic. They're slow. They're stupid. They're all of the following. And this is why the march seems to be rather pathetic at times, that we're not getting anywhere. So my concern and question is to all of you is, if we wait, quote unquote, to get in power, how are we even going to stop these
here's the spraying?
Here's the answer. This is a long process.
Laurie, here's the answer. The only way we can stop them is to get in power.
That takes time, and every day we're being sprayed upon. Did you see the week we had just last week?
I understand,
week
but
we can only do one bite at a time.
I understand, but did you hear what I just said? The only way we can stop them is to get in power.
Well, let me qualify this, too. Get outside of the program. Get outside of the framework that they've boxed you into. It doesn't take time to take power. If we all got up right now, right this minute, this morning, and marched on down, we would be in power. It doesn't take time. It takes time to follow in the process that they've laid out for us that has disabled us. But we as the people, it doesn't take us any time at all. Stop complying. Actively don't comply. Actively resist. Is that going to cause us casualties?
Sure.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
That is going to cause us casualties. And that's what it comes down to, is the American people are not yet ready or willing to absorb the casualties necessary to take our country back. But
the
that is the only solution.
Life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Listen, we got to go to a break here, so we're
okay,
running.
The only way is not just what you said, but the military has to do it from within as well, and they need to wake up as well. So thank you.
All right, very good, Laurie. Thanks a lot for calling.
We're going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Easter is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
21 counties declared for the state of Jefferson, and still we remain ignored by our occupiers in Sacramento. Little do they realize all they've accomplished is making us stronger. Come find out how. Shasta County Town Hall, Saturday, April 2nd at 4 p.m. The Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive. Come hear Mark Baird speak on representation, accountability, constitutional principles. What they said could not be done is being done.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Community radio for the North State. A little America there, like that song. I can't even know where to start. It's like, maybe I should start with a quote. We got a quote, couple of quotes here. One from Sally, and I like this one. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said he would happen. Just as he said it would happen. So that's an interesting quote for Easter Sunday. Also, the measure of our success must be our own. To love, to be loved, to be the master of our own chosen craft.
And that's from Jesse's American Cafe Americana. So,
well, you know, one of the things that has always stuck with me, and it kind of meets with what we're discussing, is at an early age, my uncle always had a saying, you know, at the end of the day, even if you're king, you're still one man. If you end up inciting everyone against you, the title king no longer matters because you're one guy.
Yeah, if you're not careful, you'll be like Mel Brooks in the History of the World Part 2, yeah. You know, or it's good to be the king. I love my subjects, you know, pull, they shoot over the wall, you know, but at the same time, you're getting to the point where you're one man and they're going to steamroll you if you're not careful.
Well, yeah, and we have to ignore the distractions and the deflections. And to me, it's almost like that scene out of Star Wars. You know, the Death Star is coming around the planet. It's about to obliterate the rebels. And they're going after the Death Star. And you got the guys on the comm chatter screaming, there's fighters all over us, and we got to get these guys off of us. And there's the one guy going, stay on target.
Yep.
Stay on target.
Yep. Yep.
And that's what we have to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We got to stay on target here, and we got to, you know, go after the root of the problem, not chase our tail and down. You know, it's like we're talking about the Bohemian Grove. You know, well, look up the Bohemian Grove on Wikipedia. You know, I mean, it's basically some kind of a club where, you know, world leaders get together and worship an owl out in the middle of the forest down by Monte Rio. You know, I mean, we could go after that.
Why?
But exactly, so we can educate ourselves all day long about the Bohemian Grove, and guess what? At the end of the day, we haven't done anything except educate ourselves about the Bohemian Grove, you know, and that's all great. It's good to know about it. We can get on InfoWars with Alex Jones and tell everybody, you know, the world is coming to an end, but at the same time, you know, what's going to affect the change is changing our government back to the way it was supposed to be when the founder founded it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know, that's very important.
The Shasta Lantern. We can expose the truth all day long, but if nobody does anything with that truth, there's no point to it.
Exactly.
And so, like we were talking during the break, it won't take that long to make things happen and these agencies to go away or the government authority to go away if we do go back to the Constitution and go back to our foundation.
And right. As Lori rightfully pointed out, we're out of time to do it by their process. We need the kill shot, and we need it now.
Yeah, yes, we need to.
We do.
Yep, there you have
it. It's time to step up. And I guess we have Billy Bob from Palo Cedro on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Okay, good morning, you guys. What an incredible show, as usual. That last segment before the last break with Terry and Lori and all of you guys, it's absolutely incredible that you guys can produce this show every Sunday. And we can't get it to some news feeds nationally. And again, what we can do to cause change is the question you posed. And I am going to commit that we form a declaration for everybody that's going to non-comply, and that we're not going to pay our state taxes, we're not going to pay our federal taxes, we're going to defund them. The Republicans in Washington won't do it. We're going to defund them.
I like it.
And that's the American people are going to defund all this stuff, and we're going to step up, and we get 5 years before they start selling our properties on the tax rolls, but we can redeem them and whatnot, and we can stretch these people out and make them starve, and that goes back to the city council with all these, Kurt Starman making $350,000 a year. We won't pay our city taxes
either.
We're so top heavy with all these bureaucrats. I've had it, and you guys just do such a wonderful job in explaining it, but like you say, we can learn all we want, but we got to step up and do something. So I'm not complying. I'm not going to pay another cent in tax.
Well,
all right, let's go.
Here's my Bill.
Here's my suggestion, Billy, is if you are a renter and your landlord is refusing to repair your property and put it in a serviceable order, you are well within your right to take that rent and set it aside in trust and not give it to the landlord until the problem is remedied. And maybe that's exactly what we need to do, is take those tax funds and set them aside in trust until they fix it.
Well, and I don't think it's going to take much, because, like you say, they've spent themselves into oblivion. And you look at CalPERS and that what's going to be coming out, and that's going to be all thrust on the municipalities and the cities and the counties because of the unfunded liabilities. They're going to be held responsible for that. That, you know, making their overspending deals with the unions and bypassing common sense and the taxpayers. So at whatever level, if we stop paying in, these guys are you're going to start feeling the squeeze. I mean, they're going to start feeling the squeeze. They're going to start squawking about what the heck's going on. And if it happens in numbers, these guys are going to have to pay attention, because all of a sudden everything is at risk for them and their constituents, as well as the services, as well as the police and fire and all this stuff. These guys need to pay attention. This is not a freaking game, okay? If they don't start following the Constitution, then we're going to cut them off at the pass and the knees and whatever else needs to happen.
Am I on here?
Yep, you are.
Okay, I think Mark hit the nail on the head, and I think that also we have to stop being afraid. I've got to give it to Lori. I mean, Lori puts her money where her mouth is, by the way.
Yes, she does.
Lori gets out there, and she'll stand up, and she'll speak, and she's one of those people that put things into action, and kudos to her for that. And I'm glad that she's going to go to Rob Pelletti's Q&A and his little dance that he's going to do. And I like Rob as a person, but, you know, really and truly, I mean, you know, you have somebody who's there basically as a bureaucrat. He is there. He is going to talk about the homeless. He's going to talk about not having enough policemen. I can tell you what he's going to talk about. Yet we have the highest paid police department in the state per capita. I mean, and yeah, you know, I guess I'm a bad guy because I'm saying that I don't appreciate the police. I never said that. But what I'm saying is that I'm tired of people trying to make excuses and running around the same old thing just to placate. And I love Billy Bob, because Billy Bob is saying, you know what, I'm going to put my stones where my mouth is.
And just think, if we had more people like that, the power or authority that we would have.
What are they going to do, arrest all of us?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, who cares at this point?
But
you know, I
could use a couple days
that,
off. I could use a couple days off, Terry, quite frankly. I mean,
I need to catch up on my reading.
Maybe this isn't plain enough, but if they take all of our liberty, it means we are in prison as a people. Does everybody get that? That's what that means.
I get it.
Taking away all our liberty. And at this point, again, there isn't one thing the government doesn't control in our lives.
Right.
Somebody said opinion. Well, they're trying to get to that through political correctness. Okay, so, I don't know how much plainer it has to get, but I know there's three types of voters, and this is part of the problem. There's the voter who is busy and uninformed. Then there's the voter that's semi-informed, maybe Fox News, CNN, et cetera, that goes on things like this Mary Rickert said, as far as, you know, I hate the taxes I get on my telephone bill, which has nothing to do with what she's going to do or not going to do for the county. And so they placate to that. Or the congressman that says, I don't like the fire tax either, and it's not in his purview. It doesn't. There's nothing he can do about it. But he's placating because he's one of us. And then there's the other voter in Shasta County that I think that people kind of miss. That is the people maybe that go to the restaurant on Friday night. They moved here maybe from L.A. They bought their house. They just don't really want to be engaged or involved in anything. They moved up to this neck of the woods, to Northern California, to escape where they were in L.A. They huddle in the home. They do what they do. They go to a movie. They go out to eat. They don't want to be bothered by anything, not understanding that their DMV fees just went up, that their telephone taxes just went up, that they're being taxed more at the gas pump. But just sort of complying with that because they moved out of the big city to get away. And that's a large part of the population up
here.
That
is. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with that one.
So I think that really and truly we need to stand. Now, as far as the tea parties go, it's educated to death. And fear. And you can't blame them. I mean, they get slaughtered with every kind of negative thing. But at this point, I mean, what else do we have being afraid of? The only thing they haven't done to us, and maybe they're trying to do this to us in geoengineering. Some people think that they haven't killed us yet.
They
haven't tried to kill us yet, or they haven't succeeded in killing enough of us yet. I mean, what else can they do, folks? Somebody chime in here. Where's our people who are in law enforcement? Where are they at? Where is their stand on liberty? Where is their stand other than, well, you know, I got my paycheck and I, you know, I'm doing pretty good here and I bought a new boat and I'm taking the kids to the lake this weekend, or, you know, yada, 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 or, you know, where are they? Where are the people who are out there that need to understand that they are taking everything but your life from you? I mean, I don't know if people understand that yet, and I'd like somebody maybe to call in and prove me wrong. Prove me wrong that the only thing they aren't taking from you at this point is your very life. And even there's a lot of suspect on that.
Yeah,
yeah, there is.
Well, we need to probably go to a break and come back. And then I want to queue up Chris Ann Hall on the Second Amendment. And it kind of addresses the question that you've posed there, Terry. And then we'll go from there and into the second hour. So stay tuned.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Somebody's knocking. Should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? I've heard about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans. Well, somebody's talking. He's whispering to me. Your place, my place. Well, which will it be? I'm getting weaker and he's coming on strong, but I don't want to go wrong. He must have tapped my telephone line. He must have known I'm spending my time alone. He says we'll have
Twenty-one counties declared for the state of Jefferson, and still we remain ignored by our occupiers in Sacramento. Little do they realize all they've accomplished is making us stronger. Come find out how. Shasta County Town Hall, Saturday, April 2nd at 4 p.m. The Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive. Come hear Mark Baird speak on representation, accountability, constitutional principles. What they said could not be done is being done.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
State, you're listening to 1460 KCNR. You can go to KCNR1460.com and get on the chat room. It's pretty lively there. What a heck of a show on an Easter Sunday.
We're rocking, absolutely.
So I know we've only got about 5 minutes to the top of the hour, so I'm trying to figure out whether I should just go ahead and start the Chris Ann Hall or wait till the top of the hour. I think we're going to wait. So we got 5 minutes here, and I've been looking here at, the historical speech from Patrick Henry on March 23rd, 1775. And these guys, I'm looking at, willing
to lay it all down.
I'm looking at the last part of the speech. I'd like to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to.
I've got one from Thomas Paine. And, this goes out to all of you guys in the trenches, all of us in the trenches, because I know how it can wear. But those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it.
Well,
there is a lot of truth to that, because there is a fatigue, there is a wear and tear that it takes mentally, physically, and spiritually on all of us to fight this fight.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let me read this quote from the last part of the speech of Patrick Henry. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, so peaceful, so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. That's a pretty strong statement for, somebody who's afraid to get, we're afraid to call the sheriff, we're afraid to get politically active, we're going to stay home and do nothing but educate ourselves. Really?
Dave Bryan, who is a pastor you guys all know from Glad Tidings Church, Sal and I went down there and spent the day with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said something that pertained and fit in right into what you're saying. He said that basically being a Christian and understanding that you go to a better place, he's willing to lay down his life for liberty. He has two bodyguards that follow him everywhere. He spoke at the Tea Party about 3 weeks ago. Here's a guy that is saying, you know what, the real deal is that when you stand up as a man who has faith, it's very difficult, in fact, probably impossible, to take anything from you. Because at that point, your life doesn't matter. At that point, liberty is what matters. At that point, prosperity for your family, for your kids, for the future, those types of things. And I mean prosperity, not just monetarily, but I mean freedom-wise, I mean spiritually. That's where we have to get to, and that's where we have to be, and that's exactly where Patrick Henry was. And when we start standing up like that and understand that we have more to lose by being afraid, and what are we afraid of? The only thing they can do, bottom line, is kill us. Where's your faith? Now, I'm not trying to sound a little strange on that, but again, okay, what have they not done to us?
Killed us yet?
Well, they haven't openly got control yet. They're working on it. But you're right. I mean, the noose is tightening, and people need to see it out there. That it's an economic noose, it's a political noose. There's lots of nooses going on here. Take your pick. But the real deal is that, and that's why we're going to talk about the Second Amendment in the second segment. Is that is the defining principle that cannot be crossed. We are at a point where we're at a tipping point where it's going to be a point of no return if we don't change this thing now. Like Chris Ann Hall says, and I believe her, that this can be completely nonviolent, completely happen, but in a peaceful solution, political solution. But what we've got to do is get up off the couch and get engaged and start doing something besides talking and preaching the gospel to the masses. So with that, we got about 1 minute left.
Yeah, we do. And so we'll be picking this up on the other side of the top of the hour, and we'll have Chris Ann's segment playing, and then we'll discuss what she says about the Second Amendment. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. 44 people are dead, 91 injured in a blast in a park in the eastern Pakistani city of Lahore. Police say the explosion took place close to the children's rides in the park and that it appears to have been a suicide bombing. One police officer says the area was crowded with Christians celebrating Easter. A central square in Brussels that has become a symbolic rallying point for people who want to pay their respects to the bombing victims became a scene of unrest this morning.
A few hundred black, plaided, hooded and masked men gathered there, and they were chanting slogans. They had an anti-Islamic State group flag that they were waving as well, a banner. Riot police moved in with water cannon and eventually forced them off the square to the applause of other people who'd gathered to pay their respects.
Correspondent Lauren Cook. There have been additional anti-terror raids today in Belgium with four more people in custody after 13 raids in Brussels and two other cities. Federal prosecutors say the raids were linked to a, quote, federal case regarding terrorism, but they're not specifying whether it had any links to last week's attacks. President Obama will meet with the Chinese president in Washington this week. Here's correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The Thursday meeting will take place on the sidelines of a nuclear security summit. A statement from the White House says the discussion will be a chance for the two leaders to advance what it terms cooperation on a range of issues of mutual interest while addressing areas of disagreement constructively. The meeting comes amid growing concerns about North Korea's nuclear program. The U.S. has been trying to push China to join other nations in imposing tough sanctions against North Korea over its string of recent nuclear and ballistic missile tests. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
The president and his family back at the White House at this hour after attending Easter services at a historic black church in Alexandria, Virginia this morning. That church traces its origins to Thomas Jefferson. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Bernie Sanders is riding high today after netting nearly three dozen delegates in his wins in Hawaii, Washington State, and Alaska yesterday. It's a solid showing, but it has not significantly tightened Hillary Clinton's overall big lead. Sanders would need to win 67% of the remaining delegates and uncommitted superdelegates through June in order to clinch the Democratic presidential nomination. Right now, he's only winning about 37%. His 25 Hawaii delegates at stake, Sanders picked up 17, Clinton gathered 8. That means in the various contests yesterday, Sanders won a total of 55 delegates. More primaries coming up. Two arrests have been made in Britain after a 7-year-old girl died while using a bouncy castle at an Easter fair. The girl died after the inflatable castle at Harlow Town Park, 30 miles north of London, was swept away by a strong gust of wind. She was treated at the scene, but did not survive. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Obama administration has given San Francisco-based Airbnb a special license, allowing travelers from around the world to book stays in private homes in Cuba.
Airbnb was the first major American company to enter Cuba after Presidents Obama and Raul Castro declared détente in December. The online service handles listing, booking, and payments for people looking to stay in private homes instead of hotels. Airbnb had only been allowed to let U.S. travelers use its services in Cuba under a relatively limited Obama administration exception to a U.S. trade embargo. That limit has been lifted, dramatically increasing the number of people likely to use the service in Cuba. Jeremy House reporting.
Today is Easter Sunday, March 27th, the 87th day of 2016. On this date in history, 1513, Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon sighted Florida. On this date in 1884, the first telephone line between Boston and New York was switched on. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. Yeah, that one is not just for Easter Sunday. That one's for the bomb blast that just went off in Pakistan, killing 60 and wounded 300 Christians. in the city of Lahore. So, yeah, and you hear that, and I'll tell you what, man, if that doesn't...
At a kid's park,
you know, it's just unbelievable. And then you listen to an idiot like John Kerry, say that these are all signs that we're winning the war.
Yeah, we've got them on the run now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
well, it needs to come to a fundamental understanding of the enemy and what kind of a fight we're engaged in. They hate us. They hate everything we stand for. They hate our children. And they want to eradicate us from the face of the earth.
Yeah, it says the area was crowded because Christians are celebrating the Easter holiday and many families were leaving the park when the blast occurred. You know,
just evil.
These people are not, it's, you know, beyond evil in a, it's in so many ways. I mean, who targets a bunch of kids at a park?
Well, it is. It's time to rise up as Americans, as Christians, as good people, and do our duty to be the shining light of the world again, to stop these things.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, with that, let's get to Chris Ann Hall here. This is a little video clip that's she put out here in this last week or so about the Second Amendment. And I think it kind of goes to a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about today. So if you've got that queued up there, Bob, go ahead and let her roll.
So, Chris Ann, I would like to address my first question at the Second Amendment, stepping back a couple of amendments here. The Second Amendment reads, a militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. To me, it makes a very definitive statement of our rights as recognized under the Constitution. Gun owners and the Second Amendment as a whole has been kind of relegated to the second-class citizenship. And I would like to address a couple of issues with that. In the state of California, in most all counties in California, the ability to obtain a concealed weapons permit is next to impossible. California is a may issue state. It is up to the sheriff to determine whether or not you are eligible to be issued a concealed weapons permit. And in most places, like the county of Los Angeles, for example, if you are not a major campaign contributor, if you are not an entertainer, if you are not someone on a special list of some kind, your ability to obtain that permit is almost impossible. And it is my contention that the Second Amendment is my concealed weapons permit. So my question to you is this, is how do we as a people begin to recapture our rights as delegated under the Constitution? We have a scenario where our rights are being stepped on virtually every day, not only in our state, but in states throughout the country and by the federal government. We have limited recourse. The Supreme Court decided under the Heller decision. Actually, let me correct myself. In the opinion of the Supreme Court under Heller, the Second Amendment is an individual right. Under the McDonald opinion, it is incorporated through the 14th Amendment to the states, and we see a scenario virtually every day where jurisdictions such as Washington, D.C., such as Chicago, are refusing to recognize the Constitution as it's written and refusing to allow people their rights. They thumb their nose at these decisions by the Supreme Court. And so I would like to hear your thoughts on how we as a people recapture our fundamental rights as they are described in the Constitution.
Samuel Adams said, no people will tamely surrender their liberties when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. He said, but on the contrary, when a people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. First thing we need to do is correct a few things about the way we think. Our right to keep and bear arms does not come from the Second Amendment. Our right to keep and bear arms is a natural right. It is based on natural law. It is based on the first principle of natural law, the right to self-preservation. Samuel Adams wrote in 1772, he said, among the natural rights of the colonists are these. first life, secondly liberty, third property, together, number four, with the right to protect and defend them in the best means possible. So what we need to understand here is that our right to keep and bear arms does not come from the Constitution. It doesn't come from the Second Amendment. It doesn't come from government. It comes from God. Our right to defend our life, our liberty, and our property are essential rights. And we have to think about these things from this perspective. We've lost complete touch with what a right really is. Now, think about this. If you do not have a right to life, remember Adam said life, liberty, property, and the right to protect and defend these three. These are your four rights. He says they stem from the first law of nature, the law of self-preservation. Okay. So if you do not have a right to life, what that means is you have to ask permission to live. So you either have a right to live or you live by permission. If you have to ask permission to live, then you are a dead man. If you have to have a right to liberty, if you do not have a right to liberty, then liberty is by permission. And if you have to ask permission to have liberty, you do not have rights. You have privileges established by government and you are a subject. You have to have a right to acquire and your property. Now, what we have to understand here as well is that property, we've sort of limited this application of property. James Madison wrote a wonderful paper, a dissertation on property, in which he explains that property is not just simply where you sit your feet. It's not where you build your house. Your ideas are your properties, your thoughts. He said your religious beliefs are property. The exercise of your religious beliefs are property. The sweat of your brow, your ideas and the operations of your faculties are your property. So property is a really big thing. And so if you do not have a right to secure your property, then you secure property by permission. And if you have to ask permission to secure your property, then you are indentured. You are not free. And if you have to ask, if you do not have a right to protect your life, your liberty, or your property, and you have to ask permission to protect your life, your liberty, and your property, then you are a slave. And so what we need to understand is this fundamental aspect of the right to keep and bear arms is essential to this natural law right of life, liberty, property, and self-preservation. And that's where we have to begin this education with the people, because we have become universally ignorant. We've become, you know, under this common belief that the only reason we need guns is so we can shoot rabbits or go skeet shooting or even in the most extreme to defend ourselves from robbers and rapists. Well, we have forgotten, number one, once again, that our right to defend our life, our liberty, and property is an essential natural right. And number two, it doesn't come from government. It doesn't come from documents. And so we need to now understand why did our framers decide to codify this essential right? Because there's lots of rights that they did not codify. Why did they codify this essential one? First and foremost, every single one of the framers who will argue before their House of Representatives on the codification of the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights will tell you, we must have a Bill of Rights to remind the people when they fall asleep that government can't take your rights. So the whole purpose of the entire Bill of Rights is to be a reminder to us to not let government take our rights. To not let ourselves be silenced by losing our freedom of speech or freedom of press. To not become enslaved by losing our right to peaceably assemble. To not become servants of government by losing our right to petition the government for a redress of our grievances and these types of things. So really, the Second Amendment was put into the Bill of Rights to remind us to never be disarmed. Noah Webster. He's the guy who wrote the dictionary. He's also a founder of our American Constitutional Republic and our independence from Great Britain said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. And they're talking about the people being disarmed. So our right to keep and bear arms is a natural right. to preserve our right to life, liberty, and property. It is the right to keep and bear arms is codified in the Second Amendment so that the people will not allow themselves to be disarmed. So if you think that the right to keep and bear arms hinges upon hunting, then what you have to admit then is that our framers were afraid that the deer and the rabbit would organize to disarm us. Right? Because the whole Second Amendment is to keep us from being disarmed. If you think that the Second Amendment was placed in there so that we could collect guns and go sport shooting, then you have to admit that our framers were afraid that the sportsmen and the gun collectors would organize to disarm all other Americans except themselves. If you believe that the Second Amendment was codified to protect us only in our homes from robbers and rapists, then you must then admit that our framers were afraid that the criminals would organize in a criminal racket to disarm all the law-abiding citizens so that only criminals could carry firearms and the law-abiding citizens would have none. I mean, all of those premises are ridiculous, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because the entire reason we codified the Second Amendment was not about hunting, skeet shooting, gun collecting, or robbers and rapists. It was because our framers knew that when government has the power to disarm the people are immediately enslaved. So it was a reminder to us because people, our framers knew human nature, that we'd fall asleep after a while. We become pacified in prosperity, lazy in luxury. And when that happens, government increases in power, people's liberty decreases, and that's when the government starts disarming its people.
Well, Chris Ann, if I could follow up just briefly with that, your comments there, I think this helps drive home that point further. Recently in the state of Oregon, a group of who I consider to be patriots chose to exercise their First Amendment rights by assembling, second, by demanding a redress of grievances to their federal government over the use of land, public lands. The federal government has been in a battle with these individuals over land rights. As I can tell, the worst crime that they perpetrated was trespassing on quote-unquote federal land. This land is public land, a wildlife refuge. That I believe they chose this land because it would be of low impact on the local population and yet enable them to drive home their point. These individuals traveled freely around this Mahler Wildlife Refuge in Oregon, traveled back and forth to town on several occasions to interact with the FBI and other federal officials over their demands, over their grievances. And the FBI chose to shut them down. The FBI and the Oregon State Police essentially ambushed them on a road, attempted a traffic stop, and as a result, one of the protesters, a gentleman by the name of Lavoy Finnegan, was shot dead in the process, shot 9 times. And as I understand, there is some reasonably strong evidence now that the FBI in turn attempted to cover up some of the things that transpired that day. So again, my question is we seem to be headed down this road that is quickly leading to violence. The federal government is presenting the people with very few avenues of recourse. And one of the things that I see as inevitable is eventually here the people are going to begin to push back towards the government. And I think that the potential end result of that could be catastrophic. It's definitely something that neither one of us want to see, but it definitely seems to be headed in that direction. What do you see as our avenues of recourse?
Well, the recourse really isn't a violent one at this point. The recourse, we have lots of options available to us because, once again, our framers did not create a constitutional republic. They did not create a kingdom, rather. They created a constitutional republic. And the constitutional republic is our defense. You see, the real defense here is that our sheriffs and our state legislators and our governors should be standing up to the federal government and saying, look, We do not recognize this authority that you're exercising as a lawful one. Number one, it doesn't come from the Constitution, and the only authority that you have, federal government, is power that's been delegated to you. If it's not been specifically delegated, it is reserved to the states. Land, other than 10 miles square and forts and ports and dockyards and territories, have been delegated, which have been delegated to the federal government. Every other piece of land is reserved to the states, which means the states have complete jurisdiction over their land. These national forests are a federal theft. They're completely unconstitutional. The federal government had no authority to create federal lands by congressional act because there's no delegated authority to do that. And so their exercising power over these lands is an unauthoritative power, which means it has no force at all. It's void of all force and law. And so what we need are not the people standing up for themselves, but the states and the sheriffs standing up on behalf of the people. I mean, that's the way the constitutional republic is supposed to work. If the people are left to defend themselves against the federal government, then we are not a constitutional republic. We are a federal kingdom.
Well, are we a federal kingdom or are we a constitutional republic? Yeah, that's it for that, Bob. Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? Are we still following the Constitution? Is the Constitution the law of the land? Or are we just pretending the Constitution is the law of the land and just letting our government overseers tell us what we should be doing and how to do it?
Well, at the end of the day, it really is up to us to answer that question.
Now, here's something. I was just, you know, perusing the internet during the talk from Chris Ann Hall, and this is what we're dealing with as well, and we need to realize this, that, you know, they just had a rally, it looks like, in Washington. Now, I'm assuming that this is up to date. I'm getting mixed messages here about the, you know, and it doesn't matter exactly the date here as much as that. What matters is that we're not getting this information. You know, basically what it's saying is in this past Saturday, Washington gun owners staged the largest felony civil disobedience rally in American history. How come that didn't make mainstream news? I wonder why. You know, and you have to understand that what's happening is that, you know, people are just tired of you know, this federal overreach. But the press, the media, the prostitutes, you know, the mainstream minions, you know, would, you know, we had a clip from Greg Hunter, I believe it was, last week, that talked about how these guys will, you know, they'll let their business go down in flames to make sure that they uphold the narrative that's coming from the powers that be in Washington or New York. You know, depending on who's running the show, whether it's you know,
the
White House or Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. So, you know, when you see stuff like that, you know, or here's another one: GOP legislators propose bill abolishing BLM's law enforcement power,
and that's out of Utah again.
Yeah, I guess we just forgot to report that on you know, getting the facts right. You know, really, I mean, the only facts they get right are things that don't matter, and so, you know, that should be big. This is you know, setting up a bill to abolish the enforcement powers of the BLM and the Forest Service. That should be huge news. What about the indictment of Hillary?
When? When?
Yeah, I mean, that's the crossing of the Rubicon that I'm talking about, is that if Hillary doesn't get indicted through blatant disregard for the law,
she should already be indicted.
Then we no longer have rule of law. We no longer have a constitutional republic. What we have is an oligarchy of tyranny coming out of the East Coast.
So, well, you're starting to see the division of America west of the Mississippi and the United States east of the Mississippi. And that line is becoming clearer and clearer every day. And no matter who wants to stick their head in the sand, there's rebellion brewing in the west.
Yeah, I mean, and then I'm looking right here at another headline. This is from California Political Review. Okay, and it's dated March 22nd, 2016 by Stephen Frank. California allows illegal aliens to vote. Now, does anybody have a problem with that but me?
It's crazy.
I want to read that again. California allows illegal aliens to vote. Now, if you're trying to control a country, are you going to let people vote that aren't from the country, number, you know, I mean, if you have a legal country, are you going to let people vote from another country to vote your rights out? I mean, what are they going to do? These guys are coming from other countries that are poverty-stricken and with promises of welfare, of you know, all kinds of benefits. Who do you think they're going to vote for?
Whoever the Pope tells them to.
Whoever.
I can't follow the money.
I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole just because, but I get it.
I'll say it loud and clear. I think there's a lot of people in this country that instead of going, oh, good Lord, where did all these legal immigrants come from? They ought to be going, oh, good Lord, where did all these Catholics come from?
Well, I'm not going to go there because I just I don't know enough about that subject matter, but I understand your point. The point is that who do they follow?
Well, what I do know is that the current Pope is a blatant, open communist.
Okay.
That is anathema to the United States and everything that we stand for. And he is also seen as the Holy Christ vicar on the face of the earth. And many Catholics that come from third world countries that support Catholicism to the point of superstition will vote whichever way the man in the funny hat tells them to, and that ought to be terrifying.
Well, and are the members of the Catholic Church in America just going to go along with the program, whatever the Pope tells them to go along with?
Well, I think, you know, your American Catholics, which has kind of become a different form of Catholicism than what we're discussing, are starting to wake up to the fact and go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute, because this guy's supposed to be the mouthpiece of God, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen pictures of him in Venezuela or Argentina or wherever it was, you know, getting presented with a hammer and sickle cross.
Yeah, with
symbol.
With yeah. Christ crucified on it.
And
really?
That's just complete, you know.
And that doesn't bother you?
Well,
meaning them?
I don't know.
Yeah,
there are plenty,
I mean,
of Catholics in America, this one included, who have a problem with it, with the fact that, yes, this Pope does have Marxist leanings, and not all of us are fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And
there you go. So I didn't know Bob was Catholic even. So, yeah. You know, I got no problem with Catholicism as much as I have a problem with where we're going with the country. You know, are we all on the freedom?
Well, I'm not making a blanket statement on Catholicism. I'm sure many.
No, and I understood that.
I'm sure many American Catholics like Bob feel the same way. But when you're talking about a population that has been kept ignorant and in the dark that follows their spiritual leadership politically. A communist pope telling millions of illegal aliens who can now vote in the United States of America is scary.
Boy, yeah. I'll tell you what. And if
that's
people
scary
that don't
in
have
so
a
many ways.
Yeah, if people don't have a problem with that, what do you think they're going to do? What do you think this redistribution of the wealth is? Has anybody got, you know, a mouthful of Obamacare on this redistribution crap? I mean, has anybody been paying those big, huge fines that are coming in? I've seen
There is.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
we
know that.
I've seen fines as high as $7,000 on the tax, not the, what do they call it, the credit, yeah, it's escaping me right now, the prepay credit, the premium tax credit,
yeah.
And so the premium tax credit, we give you, you get good insurance, and it's supplemented with this premium tax credit, only if you make too much money, then you have to pay it back at the end of the year, so not only with the penalty, but the premium tax credit recapture, I've seen guys, they owe $7,000 after they file their tax return.
Yeah.
That's the part where the average American family saves $2,500 a year?
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
That's the one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be the one. You know, I have a little clip. Maybe I'll pull it up on Obamacare here. But we do have a caller on the line.
We do. Good morning, Clark. Do you have a question or a comment for us this morning?
Well, my comment is one that I'm tickled to death to hear the conversation that's going on today regarding confronting the politicians as well as the system. Confronting the system by refusing to pay taxes, and if enough people will stand up and do it, and I agree with the other gentleman from Palo Cedro that if you're going to quit paying your taxes, just establish an account so that when the time comes you can get caught up if necessary. But I was watching the television this morning at 3:00 about what's going on in Europe, and it's the same thing that we are about to experience here. I think we've had enough.
Yep.
We're through with it. It's
And I think it's a good idea to confront the sheriff. I think
he
should come to a meeting, and I think he should be questioned, and he should be put on the spot.
And lay it out on the table.
Are you going to defend us from the Forest Service law enforcement? Are you going to defend us from the Bureau of Land Management law enforcement? What a bunch of malarkey.
I agree. I completely with you, Clark. I mean, and it needs to be done in a public forum, not this sidestepping crap, not this I don't want to commit. It needs to be said in a public forum so he will be held accountable. Are you going to defend us? Are you going to protect us from this overreach or not? Or are we still worried about getting all the drug money to buy SUVs to stop people on the freeway on I-5?
40 years ago, I stood up with about 300 or 400 people out in the alcove at a board of supervisors meeting, and I said, after the passing of the 1968 Safe Streets and Gun Control Act, we have to stop taking the federal money. And John Baumann stood up and looked at me and he said, "Mr. Gilbert, we can't run the sheriff's department without that money." What a bunch of malarkey! And at that time, we didn't have enough people involved to follow through. But I think we're starting to get there now. And I praise you people for what you're doing. I praise you people to keep up the fight and to keep informing people. And even like myself, I was involved 40 years ago, and I haven't really become involved yet, but I'm getting the nerve to do it again. And thank you again for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Hopefully we will see you soon out on the steps or somewhere else.
And thank you for the encouragement. It does help.
Yes.
You know, it helps to keep our spirits up, too.
Absolutely. So with that, let's go to a break.
You guys got to keep it up. You guys got to keep it up. Thank you.
We will.
All right. Thank you.
See you tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, Clark. Let's
go to a break real quick, and then we'll come back, and I'll see if I can find this Obama clip or this Obamacare clip, and then we'll go to the end of the show.
Okay. If you want to call in with a question or comment for us, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
21 counties declared for the state of Jefferson, and still we remain ignored by our occupiers in Sacramento. Little do they realize all they've accomplished is making us stronger. Come find out how. Shasta County Town Hall, Saturday, April 2nd at 4 p.m. The Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive. Come hear Mark Baird speak on representation, accountability, constitutional principles. What they said could not be done is being done.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
This is my fight song, take back my life song.
Save the date, May 20th. Chicks and Chaps is right around the corner. Deadline for purchasing tickets is May 1st. Only 100 tickets will be sold, and the tickets are selling fast. Chicks and Chaps and the Reading Rodeo Association Auxiliary are holding their 5th annual Breast Cancer Awareness Fundraiser. There will be awesome raffle prizes, a one-of-a-kind buckle from Montana Silversmith, great food by Mary's Pizza, fun and informative guest speakers, including a breast cancer survivor. The proceeds from our event benefit Mercy Foundation North and NorCal Think Pink. Special thank you to Sierra Pacific Foundation, Cinerama, and Dutch Bros. Purchase your tickets now only online before they sell out at www.chicksandchapsreading.com. Chicks and Chaps, May 20th.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song.
Spend your spring break exploring in Turtle Bay. We will be open all week, March 28th through April 3rd, for a fun and educational way to enjoy spring break. With programming every day and something new to inspire wonder around every corner, put Turtle Bay on your spring break to-do list. We'll be open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th through April 3rd. For more information and program schedules, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Right.
Okay. Hey, it's a long way to the top when you want to rock and roll. Yeah, I want to get some upbeat going on out there, you know. Boy, you can't hardly beat AC/DC with the bagpipes, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Showcasing the diversity of bagpipes this hour.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there. That's an old clip, but boy, I tell you, I like that one.
Yeah, that's, I'm looking at Angus Young. He looks like he's 16. It's crazy.
Yeah, the only, you know, I have an AC/DC story, you know. It's funny because, you know, one time my cousin was over there at the apartment, and, you know, he told me, I had the dryer cord go out on the dryer, you know, and he told me, well, he'd replace it, you know. So I said, sure, here's the screwdriver. I was doing some other stuff. And, you know, so AC/DC comes on, you know, what's the song? I'm a Live Wire. So he plugs the cord in before he attaches it to the dryer.
Why? Oh, wow.
I guess, I don't know.
And how many years ago was
this?
This was a while ago.
Maybe.
What was going
back
on
in
there?
The day, who knows?
Yeah.
But AC/DC comes on. I'm a Live Wire! And there's sparks coming out of the closet. Big flashes of lightning.
Yeah, that's 220.
I had to reach in and grab it and unplug it, you know. And in the meantime, the wire end of the new cord is just fried, you know. There's not even connections anymore, you know, and it's surprising that he's not dead, but I kind of always remember that every time I see AC/DC, you know, but anyway, yeah, that's a pretty rough one there. Yeah, that's electrician 101.
AC/DC live in my closet.
Wow. Anyway, getting back to the subject matter, let's go ahead and roll that little short video on Obamacare, and let's just see how well our politicians and our leaders, our masters are taking care of us, and with the redistribution of the wealth program. I say that five times fast. Go ahead, Bob.
More than 5 years ago, the Affordable Care Act, popularly known as Obamacare, was signed into law. 2 years ago, the law took effect. The question today is, has it worked? Politicians promised that the Affordable Care Act would solve two important problems. It would put an end to decades of rising health care costs, and it would ensure that everyone had access to health insurance. But the ACA in practice looks a lot different from what was promised. Politicians promised that the Affordable Care Act would cut the cost of a typical family's health insurance by up to $2,500 a year, but it didn't. Since 2008, the average annual cost of private health insurance has increased more than $1,000, and the average annual cost of employer-provided health insurance has risen $4,800. On top of that, since 2008, average health insurance deductibles have almost doubled. But politicians promised us that the Affordable Care Act would provide health insurance access for everyone. Perhaps higher health insurance costs are simply the price we have to pay for universal access. But here, too, the reality doesn't match the promise. In 2015, more than 32 million people are still uninsured, and an additional 6.5 million are only insured because Congress expanded existing Medicaid programs, not because of the ACA's health care exchanges. So why hasn't the Affordable Care Act worked as promised? Before the ACA, we only had to pay for health insurance. Under the ACA, we have to pay for health insurance plus a new government bureaucracy to manage the health insurance industry. Proponents argued that government regulation was necessary to restore competition. But the federal government is a monopoly that faces even less competition than did private insurers. In short, the Affordable Care Act took an expensive and low competition industry and put it under the control of a more expensive and even less competitive government. It should surprise no one that the results are the opposite of what we were promised. So how did we get here? Long before the Affordable Care Act, state governments erected barriers to protect in-state insurers. This reduced competition that would have reined in insurance prices. Legislators and lobbyists fought to require that all insurance plans cover specific treatments and favored procedures. Each of these requirements drove up the cost of providing insurance. Rather than correcting these anti-competitive regulations, the Affordable Care Act expanded them on a national scale,
The ACA took decision-making out of the hands of doctors, patients, and insurers, and put it into the hands of politicians and bureaucrats. The problem is, politicians and bureaucrats have neither the information nor the incentive to make prudent decisions for others.
Okay, I have two quotes here. This and no other is the root from which tyrant springs. When he first appears, he is a protector. That's Plato. Welfare of the people in particular has always been the alibi of tyrants, and it provides the further advantage of giving the servants of tyranny a good conscience. That was Albert Camus. I'm not sure who he is, but very good quote. So when you look at that, what do the tyrants always do? It's always the Trojan horse of doing good for everyone.
Yep.
Oh, it's always for everybody's benefit. Oh, you're going to have health care, free phones. I feel like the Gipper, you're going to fight, get him, get him. And it's just insanity of promising everybody everything. And then, the delivery that comes is not nearly what the promises were. And there's no utopia.
They lie
about it.
They
steal from the people at the same time, controlling everybody. The only thing left is disarmament.
Politicians and bureaucrats, yay!
Yeah.
Hey, lady, I peed in your pool.
Hey, that's Special Ed over there. Hey, lady, yay!
Yay. I got mail.
Yeah. I got health care, yay!
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yep. In the meantime, from the Associated Press, 400 ISIS-trained fighters ready to attack Europe.
Thank God we're winning.
Sure.
And then they want us to open our borders up to these guys? I mean, if you aren't starting to suspect that there's a little problem over there in the White House with where their allegiance lies, I can't help you. Because, yay, let them into the country, yay! Really? I think you need to go down and get a little bit of help and some medication.
Yeah.
Get on Obamacare and, a little Thorazine, maybe a couple of blue pills and some red ones. And
maybe you ought to just make a phone call and ask the hundreds of Christians that just got blown up on Easter Sunday in Pakistan.
I think that's going to be like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, do we have a caller, Bob?
It was our resident English teacher, Gary, calling in. Two things, Albert. It's Albert Camus.
Camus? There you go.
Who knew? It's Camus.
It's Camus.
And he was a noted French philosopher and author.
Well, there you go. Gary would know. I just happened to pick that quote up. And, I look for truth in quotes. I mean, people think that, you like a lot of quotes. No, what I like is I like truth put into words so people can understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. And that's what quotes are if you really look. There's good quotes, there's bad quotes. But look for truth in quotes, and you'll learn from other people.
I was going to say, you get some education there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Instead of learning, and there's two ways to learn, from other people and then the hard way.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
That's right.
Yay!
And how's that working for you?
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable. So, that takes me to another quote here that maybe we should listen to this one too. Those who vote decide nothing. Those who vote count the votes decide everything.
That was Joe Stalin.
Yeah. Maybe that we were hearing a lot of rumbling in Utah now about how there could be some problems with the vote count over there.
No.
Just happened to offshore to some company owned by George Soros,
They wouldn't do that with our votes anywhere.
Would that be those electronic voting machines that there's no actual physical copy of somebody's vote?
Yeah, that would be it. I'm not sure which state, maybe it was Arizona, where Hillary narrowed down the voting polls somehow to where there was only 60 instead of 230, so people will stand in line for a couple hours, then they leave. It's just like, can you believe this crap? It's like having, Tupac Shabazz out there, with a big stick, in front of the voting booth in Philadelphia.
Don't you go in there, Whitey. Don't you do it.
There was nothing going on there.
Nothing at all.
Yeah,
no.
that wasn't voter intimidation.
Or the districts in Philadelphia during the last presidential election, there wasn't a single Republican vote. Not one in the whole district.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
You know,
that's amazing. I mean, you know, all them people in one place at one time.
If Pee Wee Herman would have been out in front making threatening gestures to black people, that guy would be in prison and locked up for life.
I wouldn't want Pee Wee Herman
I'm
anywhere.
Thinking he needs to be there anyway, but what do I know?
Well, besides that, you know,
I'm just saying.
Don't go to the theater with Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman doesn't need to be near any kind of booth with a curtain.
That's just sick and wrong. Sick and wrong. I'm just saying.
Scary thoughts.
Just saying. So, well, we've got about 5 minutes here.
I think we have a caller on the line, don't we, Bob?
We have Ron in Redding with a comment.
Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to make a suggestion. We become the state of Jefferson, that we delete the electronic voting booth and go back to just paper ballots and mark your selection of your vote down with a pencil. And also make a suggestion. Maybe you could get the sheriff to come on your show where you could talk to him and we could listen and you know, call in and ask questions. So anyhow, that's my comment.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
We'll try.
We appreciate your comments and we like your ideas.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right,
thank you. Happy Easter.
Okay. Very good. Let's see. You got a comment there, Red? Otherwise, I'm going to get something else.
Again, everything we've talked about, the Obamacare, the voting, everything, all symptoms of the same problem. Mm-hmm. We have to retake our government. We can't trust the people in charge. I hate to say it, guys.
We have to become
the people in charge. Right. I don't want to do it. Nobody wants to do it. I don't think anybody in their right minds wants anything to do with politics or government. But it's the only choice we have.
It's
like dropping your phone in the toilet. Ain't nobody wants to go in there after it. But
you know, I don't remember who said it. For evil to prosper, all it takes is for good men to do nothing. And that's really what we're talking about here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get involved. We got to get out there. You know, we got to start stirring it up because sitting back complacently, you know, getting educated and waiting for something to happen with other people doing it.
And we have candidates locally that are running that can make a difference that we need to step up and really help those people and get out and get their information to people, knock on doors, put boots on the ground.
Janet Chandler in District 3.
Yeah, there you
go. Bill Chappelle in District 4.
Steve Baird
for Senate District
3
over Ted Gaines.
Yeah, no gain, no pain. I mean,
Joe Montez over Doug LaMalfa.
Yeah, so we've got him out there. We just got it.
Yeah, there's
like
Greg Cheadle.
Yeah, we got people.
There's Gregory Cheadle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, there's options. We need to exercise them. And
exactly.
If there are no options, again, it sucks, y'all, but we have to become the option.
We are the option.
Yeah.
We are the only option.
So moving along here, President Obama told an audience in Argentina, or told an audience of Argentinian youth, I guess this was in Cuba, that he was, you know, maybe it was in Argentina. I'm not sure. I'm looking at the quote here. But basically, there's no difference between communism and capitalism. We should just choose what works.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Ain't that the
truth? Yeah, ain't that the truth?
You know, it's like the same thing with Kerry saying that it's proof we're winning the war that people are getting slaughtered.
You can't make it up.
Go ahead, Linda.
No, that's okay. I mean, you just can't make it up. And these are the people that are in charge and telling us what to do and what not to do, and we're allowing this?
Well, here's
what's worse is we picked them.
We're allowing this, people. Hello?
Here's another one. RNC confirms rule change to prevent Trump from winning Republican nomination. Okay, this is Rule 40B. This is the rule that they changed to prevent Ron Paul from having his name placed on the Republican nomination in Tampa, Florida. Now it's going to be discarded. To prevent Trump from claiming it, it's like these guys just change the rules. They don't give a crap what we think. They just want to get. That's why the more that they go after Trump, the more I like him.
Well,
Yeah,
anything to scare them and upset their apple cart, I'm good.
Yeah, anything.
You know, anything to put the
pressure on. It's kind of like what Putin said about, you know, this is what we're dealing with, is what Putin said about Obama. Obama's like playing chess with a pigeon who walks around on the board, knocking all the pieces over, craps on the board, and then declares that he won.
And as far as the Republican Party goes, the extinction of the Republican Party is becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Boy, I tell you. Yeah. So.
And there ain't nobody blamed for that one except y'all's yourselves neither.
You're fired.
That's
fired.
It.
You're fired.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I want. Every single one of them.
You're fired.
All the cabinets, all the czars.
You're fired.
All of them.
Yeah, can we line up all the agencies and stuff and then just go down the line? You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
That's what
you're
I
fired,
want.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
As opposed to, here's a blindfold. You're being fired upon. Yeah, sorry. Well, I guess
well,
we're
I knew it was the top of the hour. 3 hours went by once again, guys.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it. Yep. Again, I guess I got to say it. Remember, you were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and liberty over security.
And this has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State. Have a great Easter.
Happy Easter from KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. 60 people are now confirmed dead, with 300 others wounded in a bomb attack on a park in the Pakistani city of Lahore. Officials in Punjab province have announced 3 days of mourning. A police officer says the explosion took place near children's rides as the area was crowded with Christians celebrating the Easter holiday. Authorities believe it was a suicide bombing. Syrian state media and an opposition monitoring group say that government forces backed by Russian airstrikes have driven Islamic State fighters from the historic central town of Palmyra, held by the extremists since May. Correspondent Filipisa says regaining Palmyra is a major symbolic victory for the Syrian government.
They've been pushing back against the Islamic State and also against opposition groups over the last 6 months since the Russians intervened on the president's favor. So it will probably be the biggest gain that they can point to show that they are back in this war as a major actor and that they are